Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the program dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Recently, my colleague, Mark Merritt, interviewed Thomas Hammond, who works for the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they spoke about event follow-up. Listen in as Thomas and Mark give you some great advice on how to follow up after an event.
We're talking about follow-up, and we're talking about outreach and some of the things that we can do to make it successful. Is it possible to do outreach without doing events? We're talking about doing events, registering everybody that comes, and then what happens after that. But is it possible to do outreach in the local church without doing events?
I think a church can have an evangelistic flavor and effort without events. I think that their strategy is incomplete without it. And let me explain to you what I'm saying. If your church is relational in its approach, that's great. If it's confrontational, that's wonderful. But both of those are incomplete because there are some opportunities when you can confront somebody that you've never seen before, and they're amazingly receptive to the gospel. Whereas there are other folks who say, "I don't want to hear about it," and after a few weeks, a few months, you're getting to know them, maybe in a few years, they become more receptive because of some life issues. So, there is no right or wrong, but there are ways in which we could be very effective by a holistic approach. And the thing that events do for a church, and it does for their members, is it provides them, first of all, an opportunity for all their people to be involved in outreach.
Right.
Events have all kinds of needs to be pulled off. You've got to have those who plan it, those who are involved in the event itself and follow up, and it just gets everybody involved in outreach. And it also provides those folks who may not be involved in your Tuesday night visitation, but I've got a buddy of mine who, man, I've been inviting him to church for the last 2 years, and he's told me no for 2 years. But you know what? He'd love to come play golf with me this Saturday. If our church had a golf outreach or golf event and the gospel was shared there, that would give me a chance to invite my friend, and he'll come to this event, hear the gospel, and then he and I can have that conversation later on as he brings up maybe a question or two about this or whatever. The events themselves just... An event will not grow a church. And I know people have said different things about events. If all your church does is events, then you're going to have big crowds, but or possibly crowds, where you're going to have an opportunity to have people come and hear the gospel. But if you don't have a holistic approach to reaching out to people, then your church will not grow effectively and in a healthy way. But I'll tell you, if you do evangelism training, if you provide a worship service that's celebratory and you provide an atmosphere that's very receptive to new people and you provide events that would be of interest to lost people, then the opportunities are going to be endless for you.
That sounds great. I want to thank my guest today, Thomas Hammond, the Vice President for Convention Advancement for the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, one of the most experienced evangelists that I know, and I certainly value all of your advice today, Thomas. For more information on outreach and follow-up, or event evangelism, or even on guest friendliness, contact our equipping website at www.evangelismga.com. Thank you again, Thomas.
My pleasure, Marcus.
Well, Mark, that was a great interview with Thomas Hammond. Let's talk about just quickly two or three things that he mentioned in that interview. He said this, that a church has an incomplete strategy without evangelistic events. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think he actually gave the answer to that as well. Because doing events creates opportunities. Number one, it creates an opportunity for evangelism, for people to hear the gospel. But over and above that, it creates opportunities for involvement by the saints. You know, part of the GPS strategy is equipping the saints, that is getting them out there equipped and ready to share their faith. Well, by doing an event, we're giving them an outlet for sharing their faith, an outlet for telling people about Christ, a safe environment where they can come together and share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone that doesn't know Christ, that lives in the community.
And the fact is, he made this point, you can get people to events that just will not come to a Sunday morning church service to begin with, can't you?
Absolutely. And again, the biblical precedent for that, Luke chapter number 5, Levi, also known as Matthew, gets radically born again by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants his publican and sinner friends, they're the most vile and vulgar people of the community, he wants them to hear the gospel. He knows they're not going to go to the temple on the Sabbath. He knows they're not going to be in the synagogue. So what does Levi do? He creates an event. It's a party. It's a banquet. It's food. And all of his friends are invited to this event. They all come. He also invites Jesus Christ, who, by the way, was criticized for going to the event.
Right.
And there, Jesus Christ, we're not told how many, but only heaven knows how many of those wretched sinners were radically born again. But it created an environment for these people to meet Jesus. And that's all we're doing in the local church. We're giving people an opportunity to meet Jesus.
Sure. And our emphasis is have the event, but just make sure you register people and then you follow up. And you can follow up, you know, make sure you follow up with visits, but email and phone calls. And I mean, there's just regular mail. Just do that follow up to make that event successful. And Mark, I'm going to just end with this. He said an event will not grow a church. What? I thought that's what we were trying to do.
Well, just having events, just having a car show or a fall festival on your property certainly is not going to grow your church. Along with that, we have to do the evangelism training. We have to have celebrative worship that he mentioned. We have to create an atmosphere that's welcoming for Lost Larry. In other words, have greeters, people there that's ready to show them where to go. We're friendly towards them. We're introducing ourselves towards them. But none of that's going to happen if we don't do the registration. When the event's over, the event's only half over.
Sure. And an event is not the whole strategy. It's a piece of the puzzle of the strategy.
Exactly.
So Mark and I are going to come back after the break. And when we do, we're going to talk about some odds and ends to do with event registration. Some great things you don't want to miss. And then we're going to close by telling you about something exciting that's coming up in 2013. Thank you for listening to Network. We'll be right back after this break.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year, I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life,
I depended on my money and success. I had it all, but I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a
personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm joined again today by Mark Merritt from Evangelism Ministries. Mark, we're going to end this month emphasis on event follow-up and registration by just talking about some odds and ends things that we've been really talking about all month long that I want to reemphasize during this segment. One of the things we said in week one was, or maybe week two, is that we tend to put more emphasis on the event than the follow-up. And I'm just, let me sing just as I am and I'll go to the altar, because that's true for most of us, I think. But really, we have to get out of that mindset, don't we? Because we can't view the event as finished when we take everything down on Saturday night, can we?
Absolutely not. I'll give an illustration of that, Joel. I had a pastor call me and he said, I need you to come to our church and help us with an event. We're going to do a classic car show again this year. And last year we did one and we had, he told me how many hundreds of people came and how many dozens of cars came. People brought their classic cars and all of the Bibles I gave away and the door prizes. And he said, we just need you to come and train us. And I said, wait a minute, it sounds like you had a great event last year. What do you need my help for? He said, oh, we had a great event, but we dropped the ball on the follow-up.
Wow.
We need you to come and teach us follow-up. And I think Thomas Hammond said it best when he said, when the event is over, the event is half over.
Right. And okay, let me put it in a sports analogy, I think, because this is the way my mind works. When I was playing baseball early on in middle school, high school, you know, it was swing through the pitch.
Yes.
You have to follow through after you hit the ball. If you've ever taken a golf lesson, you don't stop when you hit the ball. You have to follow through after you hit the ball. We have to have that same mentality with events, don't we? That we kind of short arm a golf swing and we stop when we at the event. But the follow-through is just as important, and we have to just change our whole mindset when it comes to the event, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. That's such a good word. And the follow-through will not take place if we didn't find some way to register all of the guests that came to our event. We talked about that in one of the previous segments, how to do the registration. But that is so key for the follow-through, that we have the contact information for everyone that came to our event.
Sure. So now, Pastor, what you've got to think is, when you think in terms of event, the event starts when you put together your planning team, and it really never ends, does it? The follow-up goes on and on and on and on. And Thomas mentioned that, Mark. He said something that kind of got, we skipped over when he mentioned it, but he said he had visited a church event, and 11 years later, he does not go to that church, but 11 years later, he's still getting emails and follow-up material from that church. Is that ridiculous, or is that good?
Well, what else did he say? He said that occasionally he and his wife will go to some of the things that they receive from that church, because they're still in contact with him. And I think that gives us a way of ministering to people. Now, whether or not you want to keep sending out information to someone that's an active member of another church, now that's another discussion. But if it's someone that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or someone that's unchurched, maybe they claim to have a relationship, but they're just not going to a church somewhere, yes, we need to keep them on our mailing list, and we need to not pester them, but we do need to, from time to time, send them out information from the church, because when a crisis hits in their life, or when the Holy Spirit simply gets a hold of their heart, and they're looking for answers, and they're looking for spiritual help, who are they going to turn to? Well, naturally, they're going to turn to that church that's been ministering to them.
That's church. And even, we're not talking about pestering, but now if we're talking about emails or snail mail follow-up 10 years later, you might say, well, I know that Thomas has joined another church. Yes, but here's what you don't know. He may have a relative that lives in your area that when he finds out about your event, he may tell that relative. So, you know... even though they've joined another church, we're not talking about soliciting church members, but it's okay to make an announcement in this day and age. Mark, just real quickly, let's just take a minute or minute and a half here, and let's talk about some logistical things. The event has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Most pastors, now some process it during the event,
right.
But let's assume that's not the most pastors. I've had hundreds of people here. I've got a stack of cards. What in the world do I do? Just walk us through real quickly some logistical things to do with all that.
I think the first thing that we ought to do, if we don't have an organized grow team or faith team, and most churches don't have an official organized outreach team like that, first thing you should do is divide those cards up and give it to your Sunday school classes. Naturally, if it's a young couple, give it to the young couple's class. If it's a middle-aged couple or a teenager, you know exactly which class to give it to. And that's where the follow-up begins. And I usually say, if a class gets that card, have a simple four-week follow-up plan. Week one, you want to make an in-home visit. When you make that in-home visit, take them something from the church bulletin, or some upcoming announcements, or some type of material related to the church. It's also good if you can take them a small gift, you know, a coffee mug or some home-baked cookies or whatever. And then week number two, you may want to send them an email. Week number three, you may want to make a personal phone call. And I'll give you, for instance, of how a personal phone call might go. You call them up and you say, "Hi, my name's Mark Merritt, and I'm from First Baptist Church. Just wanted to say thank you for visiting our church last week at our fall festival. We're having prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and I was just wondering, is there anything that we could pray for you about?" Well, Joel, that's a very non-threatening phone call to make and question to ask someone. Many times they'll tell you, yes, please pray for this or pray for that. Other times they may say no, but I'll guarantee you that's not an offensive question to ask someone. Can I pray for you about anything? And then the final week, send them a text message, Facebook, or social media. But the point is, that class can stay in touch with them for a number of weeks like that without ever duplicating it and without seeming like they're being over-invasive.
That's great. And if you need any more help on follow-up, go to evangelismga.com. There you can find out how to email Mark or me or Steve. We'll be glad to help you and give you some ideas. Mark, just in closing, 2013 State Evangelism Conference is around the corner, it feels like, for me and you.
Yes.
Give us some details, when and where, so people can put it on their calendar.
Well, I am so excited that First Baptist Church, Douglasville, Georgia, will be our host church this year, February the 25th and 26th. of 2013, and we'll have our special worship pastor, worship leader for the entire event will be Daniel Cruz. Joel, you've probably seen Daniel at First Baptist Church Atlanta on Sunday mornings, Dr. Stanley's on his ministry, singing. He is an incredible talent. And I think you've already secured some of our speakers as well, haven't you, Joel?
We have. Just to name a few that we have coming, each session in 2013 is going to have a separate theme. We're excited about that. But some of our speakers include Dr. Jerry Vines, Dr. Fred Luter, Dr. Robert Smith, Jeff Org, who's the president of Golden Gate Seminary, John Reed, who's the president of the Conference of Georgia Baptist Evangelists, Ken Hemphill, and others. I know I'm forgetting
some. Vance Pittman.
Oh, Vance Pittman is coming. Johnny Hunt will be there. Johnny and Pastor Johnny and Vance will be in the same session together. So that's some of the speakers. We're going to have an awesome conference in 2013. Mark it down, February 25th, 26th. First Baptist Church, Douglasville. Thank you for listening in to Network Today. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Until next time.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.